Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to that Chelsea podcast where Chelsea have just beaten Newcastle United 3-2 to remain 11th in the Premier League but close the gap on those above us. Joining me to look back at a dramatic evening at Stamford Bridge, it's Jam at Carefree Jam. How are we doing, my man?
Very good, my friend. Very, very good. It's good to be on after a Chelsea win. How are you doing?
Yeah, honestly, not bad, man. I said you've been on after two wins now. This is probably a very different feeling, though, to the Crystal Palace win when you were on last time. We will be a lot more positive, I'm sure, than we were then. But yeah, no, it's just really nice. It's nice that Chelsea have, yeah, recovered a bit post-cup final. You know, they're doing okay-ish. They're still in the hunt. Anyway, we'll get on to that in a bit. As always, I do with guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So Jam, tell people where they can find you and all your stuff.
Yeah, thank you, my man. So everyone can find me on at @carefree_jam on all my socials. That's X, formerly Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. Obviously, I'm one of the co-owners of the Chel Social and the CFCW Social. So you can find them on at the Chel Social on all socials and at the CFCW Social too. But can I just take this one moment just to shout out tonight, just a real big thing. I hope I'm not sure if everyone knows, but this game actually was dedicated to Her Game 2. You would have seen it going around the advertising boardings. I am a brand ambassador, so that means I do pass on the message. It's all about equality in football. It's all about fighting sexism in football, and you know, football is for all. So by all means, everyone follow the pages. There's at the HGT. Chelsea, I believe that's the Chelsea Her Game 2, and then at Her Game 2-2.
Lovely, lovely stuff. And yeah, completely echo Jam's message. Right, Jam, let's get into it. 3-2 win, but to be honest, I think doesn't tell the full story. I think that scoreline is incredibly flattering on the visitors tonight, Newcastle United. I thought, Jam, genuinely, I think that was one of Chelsea's best performances, certainly in 2024. And I think, Jam, we kind of, I guess, tonight saw almost like, you know, what this Chelsea team are capable of, and also a point of what's just holding them back. It was kind of a night that kind of had it had everything, but thankfully Chelsea were on the right side and got that deserved victory and a crucial victory.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely. I just like the energy in the team throughout today. Worrying moments, but work in progress, onwards and upwards. You know, you look at our last game and this is much better. Against a better team too. Yeah, Newcastle don't usually travel away well. I don't think their record in London is great, especially against Arsenal and Chelsea. But to hell with that. It was about tonight. It was about us showing everyone what we can do, get the fans on side again. Pochettino had a lot to prove. And I think tonight went his way. I think a few players it went their way as well, and we'll certainly break it down. But I feel infused with Chelsea Football Club, and I can't say I've said that many times this season, despite some positive results. You know, there's always question marks around the performance, but yeah, tonight felt good. It was good to get a win, as it was thoroughly deserved.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Jam, let's break it down. It obviously does help when you get off to quite a quick start. And Chelsea scored in the 6th minute, which I believe on commentary they said is the earliest Chelsea goal that's scored at Stamford Bridge in 5 years. Certainly in the Premier League anyway. So that kind of just says a lot for how slow Chelsea starting. That was what we mentioned on commentary. Jam, Cole Palmer gets the assist. It's a shot, right? I'm not going to give him credit for that. It's a shot that's going off target. But Jam, kind of a word on Nicholas Jackson, because we'll kind of use this to, I guess, praise, talk about his game in general. Really clever, nice, like flick adjustment of his body to get that, you know, divert the ball, flick it past Dubravka. Jam, just like a word for his performance. He obviously gets a goal against Brentford last week. He got a goal against Leeds in the FA Cup now, so like, you know, as well. So I think he's now 3 in his last 3 in all competitions, kind of getting back into his form post AFCON. Jam, just a word for Nicholas Jackson. I was really, really pleased again with what I see. I'm pretty much really happy with what I see with Nicholas Jackson about 70-80% of the time, probably more, he steps onto a football pitch for Chelsea. Really nice finish. And then, I mean, just a really nice all-round, you know, game. And I think you also kind of showed, we'll go on to it, like, you know, the third goal, which we will give, you know, the credit rightly to Mikhailo Mudryk, but he's not possible without Nicholas Jackson, the way where he picks the ball up in his own half and drives, turns a Newcastle defender, and then, you know, manages to lay it off, etc. But just a word on Nico's performance, just again, really, really encouraging. He's up to 9 Premier League goals now in his first season. You know, it's we're not going to go overboard, but again, for people, the record, you know, gets 2 more and he's equaled Mason Mount's tally of 11 in 21-22, which is the best since Tammy Abraham's 15 in 1920. Jam, yeah, Nicholas Jackson, just really encouraging, just really, really encouraging, and a player who is, you know, improving as the season goes on. There is no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And don't forget, he missed a month because of the AFCON too. So he could be on Tammy's thing already, potentially. But look, I think one word to sum him up was industrious. He was everywhere. He was linking up. He battles. He's got a good amount of pace. And, you know, he really does care. And I think that really translates into his performances. Like, that's almost an intangible, where it is an intangible, but you could just see it, and I think it does sort of it is infectious with the other players in the squad. I really liked his involvement today. I said it on my video, my post-match review, that little flick, you know, if it was Salah, maybe it's a cliche thing to do, but if that was Salah, Phil Foden, Saka, you know, flavor of the month, they would be singing that. You would go on to X the next day and you'll just see adverts of the flick. You go on TV, you see Sky playing it again. That shot was going off target from Cole Palmer and he put it back in. Goal. Great striker's instinct there. And yeah, like you said, on that third goal, he just drove. He just got us up the pitch. And that's, you know, that's what we need at times. Just players that are confident in what they can do, confident in what they are doing. And that he is. So, you know, he gets a lot of stick. I've been to Stamford Bridge a few times this season. When he has one of his misses or something doesn't go his way, he gets a lot of stick. And I think it's too much. And people need to start buying into him because I think he's a real good player. At least there is a good player there. And he's being effective this season. That's all we can ask.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Jam, generally, I actually think Chelsea were pretty good. You know, in that first half, they were controlling the game pretty well. Newcastle weren't really any threat. Anthony Gordon hobbles off with an injury, as well. And I guess, Jam, that's what's incredibly frustrating, because that is the moment you go, and that is one of Newcastle's main attacking threats, off one of the biggest weapons they have that can hurt us. We all, you know, it's already been well documented about Newcastle's injury struggles this season. And Jam, you kind of think, this is the time for Chelsea to kick on, you know, and make this comfortable. Newcastle weren't really at it tonight. You know, it's not to take anything away from us. I just genuinely think Newcastle were really poor tonight as well, which is why I said earlier, 3-2 scoring fouls. But Jam, unfortunately with this Chelsea team, there are just moments of bozoness. We'll call it bozoness. Like, this team, and it's probably, Jam, just what holds this team back. But the goal we concede is just so poor and it's so avoidable. I think in the space of about 30 seconds, I mean, the ball, you know, changes hands. It's like hot potato. It changes sides about 4 or 5 times in that period. Like, you know, Gusto has a chance, like, to get rid to deal with it. He then coops it back into danger, but they then get it back and give it away. Then Trev comes forward, you know, gives it away, and then, you know, they pounce, and Isak then, you know, that's, you know, give a player like Isak a chance like that in dangerous position. He manages to kind of, you know, get Zazi, probably gets a bit too tight to him or not tight enough, whatever. And Isak said to roll it in. And Jan, that's the frustrating thing. Chelsea end up going into half time at 1-1 in a game that they have been pretty comfortable in. And I guess that, Jam, is just, you know, it's obviously just a really poor goal to concede. It's just kind of, as I said, it's kind of just what has held Chelsea back this season. It's kind of just where we are, isn't it? That we can play well, but we don't necessarily, we're not in a position where the game is killed off, and we, you know, we slip up and we get punished. And thankfully, in the end tonight, it's not costly, but it was just so frustrating, a goal to concede, wasn't it?
Absolutely. There was a bit of the debate in one of the group chats, I mean, just as to whether we were in control at that point or not. I think we sat back, but we were defending fairly well, you know, keeping them out of our box mostly. That's what you want going into half time. But the way we lost that ball, it just felt like everything bad about this season. You know, like you said, hot potato, you know, no danger. Not smelling the danger of it, only being a few minutes to half time. Let's just go long. Let's win the second balls. Let's just have a bit of competition outside of our half. That there's nothing wrong with that. There is a dirty side to football too. You just have to do it. So that naivety, death by naivety, is a common theme for Chelsea this season. I was gutted. But then at the same time, and this is where we're up to this season, I didn't really celebrate that first goal beyond just saying, yes. Like, because I knew this moment could happen. I thought, albeit it would be on the other side of the halftime team talk, but the boys bounced back. Someone cracked a joke saying they thought Pochettino did the Newcastle halftime team talk. but look, they showed character. They didn't collapse after that. I was expecting the worst, and I think the way the season's gone, as long as they show signs of learning from this and this doesn't become a common theme for the rest of the season, then I can hold that. Like, they're a young team, inexperienced all round. Maybe I wouldn't be this positive about it if we didn't win tonight. But I think at the end of the day, we do need to pinch ourselves and just remind ourselves of that fact that this is our strategy. So we're going to have moments like this. It's going to happen, especially this season. But onwards and upwards, hopefully. Let them learn from this.
Yeah, and Jam, Chelsea do regain the lead. Unsurprisingly, it's that man, Cole Palmer. Again, just lovely turn and swivel shot past Dubravka to make it 2-1. It meant that Cole Palmer is the first player to score an assist in five different Premier League matches for Chelsea this season. He's also scored in five successive Premier League starts at Stamford Bridge as well. His game by numbers versus Newcastle United. Oh, I'm sorry. He's the first Chelsea player to score in five consecutive Premier League home starts since Olivier Giroud in December 2020. His game by numbers, 14 passes into the final third, six touches in the opposition box, four duels won, four times possession won, three chances created, three tackles, three shots, two shots on target, one goal, one assist. I mean, yeah, Jam, if ever you kind of need a player, and Chelsea have needed a player this season to kind of step up and sort of get them through a potentially difficult moment, or, you know, get them back into a game, or get the initiative, get them back into ascendancy, it has been Cole Palmer. I mean, just a word, again, I thought, you know, just doing an absolute brilliant performance. And again, you know, definitely one of his better games, I think, in 2024, you know, this year. I think there's been, you know, a chat about Palmer that, you know, while his goal contributions have still been pretty good in games, his actual, you know, overall performance in some games has maybe dipped a bit in this year. But I genuinely think today that was one of Cole Palmer's best performances to Chelsea. Jam, again, that just looks like a snip. And again, you know, I'll just give another credit here to Malo Gusto as well. Jam, that right hand side was causing Newcastle a lot of problems. Him and Gusto were causing them all sorts of problems. But yeah, just a word on Mr. Palmer. Very, very good again.
Absolutely. Cole Palmer, Goal Palmer, Cole Palmer. Like, he's got a load of nicknames there, and there's reason for it. Usually I don't want to get too go too over the top with a young player in their first season, but really he's putting up promising numbers, and I think he thrives off that expectation, that pressure. He's come from Man City, he's come from Pep squad. Like, he wants to be that guy, and I think he's getting the love of that guy, and he has been that guy. So let's keep it up. And yeah, he's going to have a few dips here and there. He's young, but I don't know if you said this stat, but I saw it before. I think before his goal, he'd been involved in 40% of Chelsea's goals in the Premier League, which is crazy. That is
That's
absolutely, yeah, absolutely
for
crazy.
comparison, I think Eden Hazard in 18-19 was responsible for something like 48%. So, it's not that far off.
That's unreal. Honestly, they are just quality numbers. But I really liked his involvement today. Can I just say, Sky, the
Also,
M&F
Jam, sorry,
pre-match.
just to interrupt, can we
Yeah.
also say we see that when someone tracks back, Anthony Gordon did not track back and help Dan Burn out on that left-hand side, but Cole Palmer, to his credit, did come back and help track back as well. And that was also kind of one of the differences where Chelsea were able to get joy in Newcastle less so.
Absolutely. He's got an engine on him, hasn't he? And he just wants to run. And I love that in a player naturally that's just happy to run, wants to run, sets the tone. Brilliant. Funny you mentioned Gordon. I was just going to say that Sky in the M&F pre-match build-up dared to say something like, what, who's better, Gordon or Palmer? Or who should be in the England squad? That was it. And then someone tweeted out, who's the better player, Gordon or Palmer? Everyone was coming in. I know social media is crazy, but everyone was saying Anthony Gordon. Well, would you look at that? After 10 minutes, who gets the assist? Even Gordon had to switch sides because he was having a stinker. Then he got injured after 35 minutes came off. But let that be the end of that nonsense. It's clear to see who the better player is. Cole Palmer, I just hope he goes from strength to strength and sets a record for us in his first season. He could do it. He's the man. I honestly believe that.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Jam, crucially, Chelsea get the goal to kill it off, and what turns out to be the winning goal due to what happens later. Jam, McCarthy-Modric, he has obviously replaced Raheem Sterling. I will let you have a word for Raheem Sterling before we get into McCarthy-Modric. It would kind of, wouldn't be fair to deprive you of an opportunity. Jam, he's basically not involved in the first half. He comes in the second half, try and get more involved. He's kind of playing a bit, it's almost like a second forward at points. He has an opportunity to square a ball to Palmer. He instead kind of tries to go round the keeper, and then his shot is blocked on the line. Yeah, Jam, Raheem Sterling was, I'll give you an opportunity. The contrast in what we saw from him compared to Mikhailo Mudryk, who we'll be on to in a sec.
Look, I've been onto Sterling's case probably since like 2020, 2021. I just thought I could see a player declining. Just goes to show goals and assists mean that you can be effective, but actually, what more are you doing for the team? When they draw out, what are you still offering? And unfortunately, we brought a guy in his decline. People didn't like me for it. I said it. And it's not an I told you so, but everyone's kind of seeing it now. What does he bring for what we're paying for him? And at the end of the day, he's taking minutes away, crucial development minutes away from a player in Mikhailo Mudryk that needs that confidence, that love. And this season, of all seasons, we could really blood him in. Do you know what I mean? I think we're missing an opportunity here. Sterling had a stinker today. He had an absolute stinker. And unfortunately for him, the fans are starting to get onto him now. It's just not good enough for what we pay. And it's sad. Can I just say this? It is sad because the player was at a great height and now he's just not that guy. You cannot, I said it's a joke, but not really a joke. It's professional misconduct not squaring those passes again and again and again. And I swear this is the first strike, so he's got to be out. Honestly, I can laugh about it now. We actually won this game, but he did it against Aston Villa. We lost. He did it against Wolves. We lost. And he's done it a few other times. We lost to Forest. He had something similar. And Bournemouth, I believe we drew that game. He can't be doing this. He can't be. It's not good enough. But let me flip this into a positive. Mykhailo Mudryk, maybe Pochettino has managed him well, because today he looked very different to the Mykhailo Mudryk that we saw a month ago, where he, even against the Championship team in the FA Cup, was struggling. Like, we need to see this guy confident and willing to take people on, be direct, use his pace. And tonight we saw that. And he had quick feet for that goal. Maybe he got a bit fortunate, but he was there, he arrived, and he finished it well. We've seen other Chelsea players, other attackers, miss those opportunities. Cole Palmer against Middlesbrough, Jackson the other day. You know, obviously Sterling's got a ton. So for Mudryk to be that composed in front of goal one-on-one, you know, praise to him, credit to him. I'm just very delighted for him, but let's just hope Pochettino now actually starts this guy. I need to see him starting a match of football and see how he can be effective, because he'll be better than Sterling, and that's all we need right now.
Yeah, I mean, Jam, but it's quite remarkable for a player as rash as Mudryk, and I say rash, as raw as Mudryk, as you don't really know what he's going to do next. You know, I'm not sure he quite knows what he's going to do next. That was so, so composed. Where he just dances through, not makes the Newcastle defender, just rounds Dubravka like with ease, and then gets slots at home. Obviously, I know the Newcastle defender sort of kicks it in a bit at the end, but like, the amount of composure, I was like, what, that's not Mykhailo Mudryk. That's like sort of a seasoned pro. That's almost like what that's almost what you maybe expect, you know, for a number 10 of recent years, Mr. Eden Hazard rounding the keeper. No, that was just really good. And yeah, Jam, I think we've got to see him start. There's no excuses, I don't think, not to see him start, but the FA Cup at the very least, of the weekend against Leicester. But I mean, Jam, you know, people obviously bemoan, you know, his use of being on the bench tonight. And obviously, I don't think Sterling's Zaire's performance in the 70 minutes, you know, grew up then, you know, justifies potentially, you know, him starting, Mudryk coming off the bench. But Jam, this was also kind of like one of those perfect game states for Mykhailo Mudryk to come on and influence. Chelsea 2-1 up, Newcastle chasing the game. There would be space in behind. There would be opportunities for him. And he thrived. So, you know, not to give too much credit to Poch, because I think it's just the logical thing to do here. But I do think Poch deserves some credit for Chelsea's performance overall. But again, I'm sure that was really good timing, you know, for his subs to bring him on. And actually, to his credit, I think he was correct in not really tinkering with that team too much. And said that's the first sub, and then there's not another one till 15 minutes later when Chelsea are 3-1 up and in a good position in the games. Done, but Jam, that is kind of like, if Mudryk is going to be on the bench, that is kind of the perfect time to utilise him, isn't it? Those last 20 minutes where an opposition team are tiring and they're chasing the game, they're going to leave space in behind, because he, you know, he was able to thrive. That was a really, really good 20-minute cameo from Mykhailo Mudryk. And, he, you know, you just saw what he does. He works to the end. He's very good at, you know, when Chelsea, you know, trying to manage that game at the end as well, you know, being composed, going to the corner, etc. That was really, really good from him.
Absolutely. We just saw a young player, or somewhat young player, let's say an experienced player, that just had confidence. So you're right. The match situation really suited his best traits. And he just looked like he was someone that wasn't held back. It's maybe taken him a while to really get used to his surroundings at Chelsea, the high expectations, the fact that he's playing in one of the most or best elite leagues in the world. You know, people say that maybe the things at home in Ukraine are holding him back, and maybe they are. He is still young. He's, what, 23? I think it's been a rocky start for him, and he's coming to a club in turmoil. So maybe it's taken him a little while. The only thing I would say is we've seen this before, where he comes in, shows some promising moments. I thought tonight was one of his best performances in a Chelsea shirt, even though it wasn't the full 90. So hopefully he goes onwards from this, and next time, if he does get a start, whether he better, let him have a good game. And I feel like we can start to see some consistency in front of some really big games coming up for Chelsea, in which I feel like he could be a really big help. But you're right, mate. It was the right time to bring him on, the right circumstances, and he took his chance. That's all we ask. So well done to him.
And Jam, to be honest, at that point, I'm thinking 3-1, that is a scoreline that very much reflects Chelsea's dominance. Chelsea deservedly, you know, Chelsea deserved to be a couple goals up in that game, and they played pretty well. You know, probably opportunities maybe as well at the end, maybe to make it more. But Jam, as we mentioned, this Chelsea team do not make it easy for themselves. They do not make it an easy, comfortable viewing experience at the end for you and I as a supporter and everyone else. And Jam, we conceded a late goal to make it potentially tense. Jam, obviously, someone we've not talked about. Marco Corella is in for his first start of the season. Not first start of the season, sorry. His first start since return from injury, that injury setback a while ago. And he plays at left back. Jam, for what it's worth, prior to this incident, I actually thought he had a pretty solid game for Chelsea defensively. You know, he was not necessarily like the big attacking impetus going forward, but I thought he was fairly solid. But Jam, unfortunately, he's too eager. He overcommits and Murphy rolls him and then just absolutely. But takes a roof off the net off. It's an absolutely sensational finish. And then, Jam, that's just kind of it. Chelsea, in a game that they've played really well, have actually conceded two pretty poor goals. And, you know, the beauty is they were able to score three today, but on another day, that could have undone what was a good, really good performance. And again, just an example of what is holding this Chelsea team back from just being that little bit higher up.
Murphy really came on the pitch and said, "I'm not going back to Newcastle with these crap minutes, these Jake Livermore minutes, if you like, without hitting this ball as hard as I can." And my gosh, what a hit! My first reaction was Petrovic near post, no way, but now you can get that. It was just perfect, and you could almost hear that sound as soon as it went in the back of the net and crossed that line. It was just crazy. So fair play to Jacob Murphy, and I hate praising the opposition for goals, but we won, so I can do it. Look, Cucurella, he was dying at the end of that game. His battery light was flashing, like health bars, everything. He was running out of life. He needed someone to restore his HP. It was peak. He even free what you see that foul throw as well. Like he was just tired, so. And no wonder it's been a while. I'm not going to get onto him for too much for that. But what I will get onto him about, because he does it when he's fit, is he is so eager to get the ball. He's like a dog. Literally, he does this time and time again, tries to get in front of the player, and he has been rolled or caused needless fouls. I get it. It's a good trait of his to nick the ball in front of people. But if you keep doing it, especially when we're 3-1 up, going into the 90th minute on the edge of our box, what are you going to gain? Why not just hold him up and wait for your other players to come in and just keep that position? I don't think he's very good at positioning, but he had a good game today. Overall, all things considered, thrown in at the deep end, I think he did well. So I'm not going to cook him. It's just that he really needs to be coached out of doing those bozo moments because it always comes from him trying to nick the ball. However, other than that, he did a job tonight, and that's all we needed to be fair. He probably did better than I thought, so fair play to him.
Yeah, Jamie, it was obviously a Trevor Chalobah, Axel Disasi centre back partnership. And to be fair, I mean, I don't think Newcastle really tested them. But again, for that pair, aside from obviously their, I guess, their sort of respective roles in the opener, Trev kind of, you know, giving the ball away, then being out of position, then, you know, you can potentially argue how Disasi deals with Isaac. He's out for the opener. I thought, again, both those pair did fairly well. And then Jamie gets to the midfield too. Caicedo kind of gets a book, just takes Enzo Fernandez's booking very much over the game. But I thought that was just a pretty solid showing, you know, able to move the ball around, move the ball well, control the game quite well at points. Just pretty solid. Obviously, there were, you know, a couple of moments where I think Moise just, you know, tried to get out on the counter attack in the past, just, you know, quite got cut out. But those two were a threat. Obviously, Enzo gets that assist for Cole Palmer's goal to put us two and up. Yeah, it was just a really solid performance. And like, genuinely, I'm just like, I'm really happy with said with those individual saw. I saw Malo Gusto again, a really lively showing, good, you know, a threat for Chelsea going forward, but also very good defensively, you know. Really solid defensively. I said, Jam, like genuinely, I walk out again. Chelsea won 3-2. I'm really happy with, you know, just a lot of performances. I'm like I said, that's 3-2 scoreline really does not flatter, you know, tell the full story, and it really does flatter Newcastle. Jam, let's kind of talk about obviously that 3-2 win meant that Chelsea haven't lost a Premier League game in the month of March since 2001, a 4-2 defeat to Sunderland, going unbeaten in 38 such matches since, 1-32, drawn 6. And it means that Chelsea have now beaten Newcastle in the Premier League for a 30th time. Yeah, that's pretty handy. Newcastle have only won once at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League era. And he says, yeah, they've now won 30 plus games against two different sides in Premier League, Newcastle 30 of today and 34 against Tottenham. Jam, as I said, we've kind of praised the whole team. I also think, Jam, it would be quite remiss of us if we did not give some praise for Maurizio Pochettino tonight. Obviously, I know, people will know, you've been quite a big vocal critic of Maurizio Pochettino, and understandably so. And, you know, he again probably did not necessarily help himself with comments he sort of made kind of in the build-up to this game. But, you know, I'm just going to brush under the carpet because I think a lot of time has passed and, you know, people, we don't need to bring that up again. But, Jam, credit to him. That was a team performance. But actually, you know, I liked, as I said, it was Chelsea. It was a Chelsea side that didn't seem really shackled. It was a Chelsea side that actually, you know, we're pretty confident, and a Chelsea side, a team that, you know, played well. I said, I genuinely think that's probably the best Chelsea league performance, one of Chelsea's best league performances in 2024. For me, again, there's obviously the Man City one away for different reasons, but I'm probably struggling to think of, like, in terms of almost as an almost complete 90 minutes, that was really good. You know, it's just the two goals aside and the moments sort of leading up to that. But like 95% of that game, with, I'm really pleased with. But just thoughts?
Yeah, fair play to Poch. I think the starting team was what I would have leaned towards for sure. I didn't want to see Palmer in the 10. I'm happy Gallagher was fit enough to play. And did he complete 90? Well, fair play. so good that he was fit.
It's worth saying he'd been ill in the week and build up to this as well. So yeah, fair play to Connor.
Yeah, absolutely. I needed Palmer on the right. We saw that and we saw what he could do. He cooks from there. Whilst I don't want Sterling starting, I get why he started him. I kind of do. Now he learns from that, hopefully. But the rest of the team, really, really good. And I thought, yeah, our energy was good tonight. We've really suffered in certain games this season. And you look to the side and you see a man that's not really connected with his team, like the energy, or they're too connected because he's a bit withdrawn, a bit passive. So is the team. So actually, I saw a little bit more from him. Maybe he's learning his lesson, you know, whether it was us scoring our goals or just generally he looked like he had energy. Is that because we've had quite a long time to prepare for this game? Maybe. But fair play to Poch. I thought the subs on the whole were good. Just all I'd maybe say is he could maybe lean into some of the youth players a bit more and not complain of not having, you know, enough players there when he does. Just about. I get injuries are bad, but they're there. Anyway, I don't really want to complain about that. All I would say is that he needs to really, really, if he wants us to play out the back, we need to do better. He needs to coach us better.
Yeah, I would agree. But playing out the back was a bit nervy at the start of that game.
That's it. That's one big thing to say. But look, I've said it. I've said Poch out. Whilst overall, I'm not really changing my stance. There's no need to bring any of that tonight. I think he did a good job. The players did a good job. We move on to the next one. I really just hope he can get consistency out of these guys. That's what we need. He's managing a crap situation. I've got to say this. It's a very hard job that he's got here. I've got to say that with all the injuries, everything that's going on with Chelsea, this Project 2030 nonsense, an unbalanced squad, an inexperienced squad, I just need him to rise to the occasion and try and get the best out of these guys, which I don't think he's done. But tonight, he did it. So fair play to him. And yeah, let's just get some consistency now.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And I said, you know, it's just, you know, it's like simple little things, you know. Again, he's got an opportunity of a weekend just to do simple little things, get it right. Give Mudrik a deserved start of a weekend, you know, just these little things. It's not, you know, Poch doesn't, I think, necessarily, you know, need to do anything too overboard. But as I said, you know, there's opportunities and he just got to take them. As I said, you know, obviously, yeah, he does only make three subs tonight. Maybe, look, is there an opportunity? Could you maybe potentially bring on a Gilchrist to try and shore it up a bit earlier? Who knows? But again, like, we're probably, like, picking here. I said, could you, for example, maybe born Gilchrist for the flagging Cucurella, who was, you know, noticeably tired towards the end? Obviously, people can have that criticism and understandably. So, but yeah, no, I think Maurizio Pochettino deserves some praise for tonight. Because I really enjoyed watching my game of football. You know, it did help the Newcastle weren't quite at the level. But I really enjoyed watching Chelsea tonight. And I really enjoyed what I saw. And I really enjoyed that performance. And I just hope it continues, Jan, because said it's this bizarre thing with Chelsea where we just don't really know how to assess them or where they are, because you then look at what happened against Brentford for a previous week and that sort of capitulation in that second half before having to rescue it. And it's just, yeah, it's why people listen to the Chelsea podcast and just had no clue where Chelsea were in the league, where you probably figure it's like we're just quite bipolar with the way our starts and our feelings and our mood changes on it. But no, it's simple. Just for Poch and this team forward, just, you know, just be brave, just go for it, and don't let fear hold you back. You know, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Yes. From June. Again, sorry, people. I had to give it in.
Love that.
But it's true. But it's great. It's great because this team, you know, you just saw tonight a team that was, you know, fearless, that went for it. That said, Mudryk, when he come on, fearless, just live and direct, just like proper going at it. Exactly, lively. And what this team is capable of when they're brave and fearless. It was not boring. It was not really slow, boring, passive Chelsea tonight. You know, it was that good temper. There was a good temper pretty much throughout that game. But obviously moments where, yes, Chelsea were sloppy in possession, you know, gave some dodgy clearances out from the back, a bit like Newcastle. It was almost a bit contagious. But no, exactly, Chelsea, just be fearless. Exactly. You must not fear. Just go for it, because, you know, just, yeah, aim high and we can see what we can achieve.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Jam, look, it was a big win, because we're coming up to an international break shortly. There's the Leicester FA Cup game before. But again, Jam, it just kind of means when we look at, I guess, Chelsea and the bigger picture, yes, Chelsea stay in 11th, but the hunt for Europe does all of a sudden look a lot brighter. We're only 4 points off West Ham United in seventh place with a game in hand. Obviously, we know that the games in hand, we've got to play our Spurs and an Arsenal tie at some point. Both those games will be really difficult. But Jam, obviously, when we come back after the international break, it's Burnley at home. There is then obviously Manchester United in the midweek, but then the Sheffield United away and Everton at home. And that's before we then get into, you know, the first of the fixtures facing the teams above us in the Premier League, which is Brighton. Jam, the point is, tonight, Chelsea crucially did not slip up, because, you know, if we drawn that game, it would have felt quite a long way back for getting into Europe, just given the fact that games are running out, but the time for slip-ups is now. But Jam, this is a kind, as I said, I say Man United aside, and I still think that game is actually quite a good game for Chelsea, just given the way Man United play, and we will get opportunities in that game. I think obviously we'll have to, you know, we will not be able to be as casual defensively at points as we were tonight, because I think they will have the quality to punish us fair. But Jam, as I said, look at these fixtures after Leicester on Saturday, which we'll preview in a sec, but Burnley at home, United at home, Sheffield United away, Everton at home. Those are our next four before we then play Brighton away, Villa away, who are fading a bit, will probably have European commitments, West Ham at home, Forest away, Bournemouth at home, and then obviously the Spurs and Arsenal games coming at some point. But actually, Jam, those fixtures are not too bad. There's quite a lot of home games as well, where Chelsea, Wolves aside, have actually been pretty good, you know, post the autumn. Jam, I know it's kind of just setting this up for disappointment, because this Chelsea team is incapable of really putting consistency together, just given that's what we've seen with Chelsea this season, and, you know, reflected in their 11th place league position. But Jam, we've kind of seen, but Brighton, you know, I mean, they might crush out of Europe, but they have, you know, been pretty inconsistent. West Ham are inconsistent, you know, drew 2-2 with Burnley at the weekend. Wolves are potentially one of our biggest threats, the form they're in. But Jam, the point is, there is the opportunity to just go up. And I mean, God knows, who knows what happened if Chelsea, you know, Chelsea were to win their game in hand. You know, there's a potential to only be 5 points behind Man United by, you know, that game won't happen beforehand. But the point being, Jam, there is an opportunity for Chelsea, not just through the FA Cup, but also through league position, through this win, just to, you know, qualify for Europe that way. This tonight just was huge, wasn't it? And then just looking ahead to some of those fixtures, because those are some, you know, decent fixtures for Chelsea coming up. You can't complain when you've got, you know, playing the bottom bottom two in your next run of three or four games. And you've got Everton in there as well. It's Everton team that are in a horrendous run of form. Granted, that's, you know, they'd think, oh, okay, Chelsea, great team to play at a horrendous run of form. But Jam, there's home fixtures there, there's favourable fixtures in there coming up. This is an opportunity now. And this team, this is like a litmus test of this team really coming up, isn't it? This is where we will see what they're made and what they're capable of, because this team are more than capable of going, team should be more than capable of going on a run and qualifying for Europe from this position. They've kind of just hung in there. And now this is, feels like our time to potentially try and strike now. This coming up, this feels our time to strike. And if we can have progress in the FA Cup as well, that also just keeps the good feeling rolling, keeps the momentum going. This is the opportunity now to build momentum, isn't it?
To be honest, mate, I think we need you in that dressing room. You know, that speech you gave just now, you know, the lads need that. I think they'd vibe with it. look, I was at danger, I'll just say this again very quickly, of being swallowed up by a lot of doom and gloom. So the thing with football is that you do need to have some optimism. You do need to have something that you're going to aim towards. And look, these guys have put themselves with a win tonight. They put themselves right back into that fight. And they need to be up for war. They need to be waking up every morning and just thinking, right, let's go for it. Europe, I want to use my passport in the Chelsea kit next season. that's what it's about. And yeah, we're right in the mix. The only thing I would say is that game in hand, isn't that like either Spurs at home or Arsenal away? Is it?
I agree. The game in hand is tricky.
It is. However, look, you know, I'm not going to take away from the point. Look, all we can do is beat whoever's in front of us, and we've got a good, favourable run. Like you said, they're at home. We need to be picking up points. We need to build up a fear factor around us. We need to, you know, we need to get to the end of this month and go, we've won all of our games. We are unbeaten in March. Sorry, let me rephrase that. You know, start getting these records. And actually, we haven't been beaten in 90 minutes for a little while now. So maybe it's coming. Maybe we are starting to cook. Maybe these guys are going to believe in themselves. I personally refuse to really look at the table too much. I think we're going to know a lot more sort of mid-April, after our first few games in April, because they get a little bit tougher. But for now, I'm content with where we were before. I'm content slash happy, dare I say. And I hope Pochettino, I hope they really did get into that dressing room and just enjoy that win and just want to go and get it again. Because we need a couple of wins, you know, going forward, if not three or four wins on the bounce, and then we really get ahead of steam. And actually, we could perhaps be close to Man United by the time we're playing them at home. And hopefully, imagine we win that game against them at home. Imagine that puts us above Man United. We'd be cooking.
I don't think that is possible, fortunately, but there is the opportunity to potentially, Jam, I said, like, just looking at the table, if we were to, say, beat Burnley, and then I don't know who Man United got next, but there's the opportunity. But, you know, we could potentially, if we were to, say, beat United, be 5 points behind, but with a game in hand on them, which then the potential to go 2 points behind them. Again.
Oh, when do we play them? Buts and neighbours.
We play them on Thursday, the 4th of April. So they're there. It's Burnley is our next Premier League game. And then there is the potential to, their next game's away at Brentford. So they probably win that, probably scrape past them there in dodgy, typical fashion. But the point is, Jam, just more looking more, you know, not even necessarily looking United so far, but I said West Ham in seventh, have Europe. We know teams, a lot of these teams struggle. They don't have the squads to really deal with that. West Ham's league form in general has been pretty shaky, you know, recently. They're kind of just sort of clinging, hanging in around that spot. Brighton as well, you know, they're incredibly up and down, kind of a bit like us. I said Wolves are probably the one I'm most fearful of, and Newcastle depends, you know, if their injury situation kind of like resolves itself. But Jam, as I said, we've kind of just been able to like stay in the hunt and move forward now. Jam, I guess we'll just kind of finish off by looking ahead to Sunday, because that is, you know, that is another incredibly important game. It's Championship opposition in Leicester home. It is obviously also Chelsea's last game before the international break. Obviously, what kind of team are you kind of looking at starting that game against Leicester? I mean, I feel that really Mudryk is the one who I'm bringing in for Raheem Sterling. I'm probably keeping Jackson, Palmer, Gallagher, And then I'm keeping Moises and Enzo as well. I think there's no need to really change them too much. I would want Poch taking this strongly. I guess there's obviously the question, Jan, what do we do? Do we keep Petrovic in goal? Do we bring Sanchez back in? You know, we kind of saw he came back in against Leeds. Is he now potentially Chelsea's cup keeper? Do you play the cup keeper here? Do you, you know, we kind of saw that he, while he wasn't necessarily directly at fault for the two goals we conceded against Leeds, he also didn't really inspire confidence. He didn't come for that ball with that post. He kind of hung back, stayed in his net for Leeds' second goal. And obviously, you know, has a part in playing that ball out from the back of the, or to De Zerzi at the start of that game. What are you kind of looking at team-wise? Are you kind of thinking maybe Thiago Silva, bring him back in? You know, he's coming back from injury. Is that a game you're looking at to start him potentially? Or is it maybe a game you're trying to give Carney a minute, some, say 60 minutes to start with, maybe him instead of Connor? Just what are you thinking about team-wise for Saturday, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, a few changes here and there. I think actually...
Obviously, it depends on what injuries magically appear between now and Sunday as well.
Exactly, mate. You took the words out of my mouth. We know what we're going to get tomorrow. You know, probably be an updated injury list, and then somehow someone on there is going to be continuing their rehabilitation just following tonight's game. So we'll wait and see. But I would only make a few changes. I think Leicester are a good team. Like they're not a championship team, really. They're just in that league. We can't take them lightly. I think they're better than Leeds. So this will be another tough game. And we need to win. We just must. There's no two ways about it. We can't just go out because now we're back in the race in the league for Europe next season. No, we need to win this game. So I wouldn't make too many changes. Madrid has to start. Silva coming back in for sure. Cassidy is cup tied, isn't he? Unfortunately. So maybe Carney, can he maybe get a start-ish or at least come off the bench for significant minutes? I need to see that. Otherwise, I wouldn't change the team too much. I don't think we can. I don't particularly like Sanchez, but I think he probably should play.
Know he should play. I just think he will play. Yeah. I've got a feeling Poch is going to play him. I think Poch has now decided he's a cup keeper until we come up against, if we get through to, you know, and I think he'll play unless we get, say, Premier League opposition in the semi-final again.
Yeah, I mean... Thing is, he came
Chelsea
in as
should
a
be
number
able to beat
one
Leicester with Rob Sanchez in goal. Like Chelsea should be able to beat Leicester.
Exactly. I think he came in as our number one keeper somehow. Got that long term injury, and then Petrovic really showed what he can do. That he is better than him at the moment. But I still think we need to keep him there or thereabouts. So I would play Sanchez just for rotation purposes, nothing more. And then I'd look to get some of the youth players a game, get him into the squad. You know. Achipong was on the bench today. Tariq George didn't actually make it into the squad. Castledean's been in there before. You know, there are some players that can probably get some minutes, and I think they should. And we're going to beat Leicester. I just believe we will. We should. We must. So, you know, as simple as that, really. I'll be keeping a keen eye on that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Lose to Leicester and it just kind of undoes all that good feeling we've got from tonight, but hopefully that's not the case. No, exactly. I think, look, I'd probably take it safe on Cucurella. I'm probably reluctant to start him again on the Sunday, given we played on the Monday. I know it's a bit of a break, or if he does play, I'm not giving him another full 90, certainly. I think, obviously, you've got the option. You could play Malo Gusto on the left, and you could, say, bring in Alfie Gilchrist at right back, or put Trev to right back, potentially, or De Zerzi to right back, whichever one you choose. There's options there. Silva can maybe come in for Cucurella, and then, Gusto swap over, and maybe bring Silva back, because I do think there's going to be a point where, you know, I think it's just good to get Silva in potentially. Who knows how big of a role he's going to have for Chelsea moving forward. And yes, I know it will probably potentially impact a bit how Chelsea play, but I'm like, it still should be good enough to help us beat Leicester. Obviously, I guess there's a potential. Do you play Moises and Enzo again? You said you could play Connor there potentially, you know, there. There's obviously the chance, mate, you know, Nonny's an unused sub tonight. Do you kind of bring him in? But I'm kind of wanting Chelsea to go pretty much full strength, given that there's an international break after this. And I'm not really worried about these players going for their countries. You know, we kind of deal with the effects of the minutes they play for their countries coming back on for back of that. So no, I'd still like to see a strong team, and obviously Jackson would start up top for me. So yeah, I'd still like to see Chelsea go into it with a strong lineup. But yeah, I said it's got the potential to, I said, Jan, this is kind of the beauty of it. Like last, you know, a week ago, we're kind of going, oh, just over, or 9-10 days ago, we're just kind of going, oh, where is this going? To all of a sudden, you get a win tonight, some decent-ish results in the league over weekend, or one of the teams slips up in the league weekend, all of a sudden you kind of back you feel very firmly back in that race for Europe. And then there's a chance that when we return back from the FA Cup, from the international break, we're in an FA Cup semi-final, and then one of those Brighton or I think Villa away games then gets rescheduled again. So then potentially one of those trickier fixtures gets pushed back to a little bit, so the situation can feel better. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But yeah, we will wrap up there because we've gone on long enough. But no, tonight was a really, really good performance from Chelsea. It was a really positive feeling. Just really, really happy with what we saw from the boys. And hopefully they can keep it up, because it's why they are so frustrating, how they could go in from that performance you see against Brentford a week ago to what performance you saw today against superior opposition tonight. And it's just, it's absolutely night and day. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode of that Chelsea podcast. We'll be back on Sunday. But I will give Jam one opportunity to give himself one last plug, where people can find him and all his stuff.
Yeah, thanks, my man. It's been a good one. Thanks for having me again. So everyone can find me on at @carefree_jam. On all socials, Twitter or X, Instagram, TikTok, at the Chel Social on all socials too, at the CFCW Social too. And yeah, again, just don't forget, it was all about Her Game 2 tonight. So please do give their Chelsea page and their main page a follow and interact with them. Spread the message, all about equality, football for all.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Those links will be in the description below. As for us, we are on Twitter or X at @ChelseaPod, Instagram @ChelseaPod. We're on all your usual podcast prep from Friday, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you don't follow or subscribe already, just search that Chelsea podcast and we should come up. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please feel free to leave a rating and a review. It goes a long, long way. Whenever I tweet a pod, any likes and reposts are much appreciated. It helps the pod, spread the pod to a wider audience. At the end of the day, we're just Chelsea fans, talking to fellow Chelsea fans about the one club we love. And yeah, when they perform like tonight and they give you reason to feel happy and optimistic and a lot to praise, it's great. It's really great. And it keeps, you know, the energy and the excitement of the season going, because there was a real danger that tonight could have potentially gone the other way and been really toxic and felt really fatal and just, you know, the end and no coming back from. So tonight was really good what we saw. So yeah, we'll be back on Sunday for you listeners Monday morning to look back at Chelsea's game against Leicester in the FA Cup. Until then, keep a blue flag flying high.
Can't make an ending easy, can we? It can never be plain sailing. Nonetheless, that was a really big win. That was seriously needed, because we're just clinging on to, you know, potentially finishing seventh, just clinging in there. And we've got to play all those teams as well, apart from Wolves. Palmer, brilliant again. Cheeky assist. Good finish for the goal. I think Jackson was absolutely superb. He's coming on leaps and bounds now. You know, he does miss a few chances still, but he's scoring goals. And that's what you want from your striker. You know, 7 out of 10, I'd say, probably, since he started every game since AFCON. I was, like I messaged you, I was about to compliment Cucurella as well, till Murphy rolled him to smash in that consolation. Mudryk, when he doesn't have to think, fuck me, what player, pace, the trickery of his feet. But now, all in all, I think, really good performance. It's just a shame, isn't it? Like, we just have some total idiotic moments. Like, we gave away the ball 4 times in the space of like 30 seconds for their equaliser through Isak. Just, oh, unbelievable, honestly. We just really need to cut that out now if we want to gain momentum and push up the table. 3-2 flat of them. On to Sunday. Big game in the cup. Come on, you Blues. Sports Social Podcast Network.